If you please open your Bibles to Luke 10, 25 through 37 is what we're going to be going through today. We're going to be talking about the Good Samaritan. Some of you know this story, you know it well. And it's not by accident, never is by accident, that God has us where we need to be at the right time. Amen. As we're diving into the Good Samaritan, we're going to be talking about it. We need this. As a church, we need to hear this as a church family. We're busy right now. We talked, Mr. Clay was talking about the search committee is looking for the next man to lead this church. We're also in conversation, Mr. Hancock had shared, with North American Mission Board and potentially the future of this building. There's a lot of stuff going on. Yesterday, again, we had over 100 people here to enjoy a fall festival. To hang out with us as a church, hang out with our church family, let the kids mingle, go on some hay rides driven by Ken Boss, which was safe. That's fantastic. Thank you. Pass that on to Ken for me, please. Yeah. Yeah. But we had an amazing event. Engage NoCo. We found out this week we've been invited to Missouri Baptist University to come talk to all of their students about local missions that are happening and the opportunity to potentially join forces with us up here in Ferguson. The elders, the trustees, the deacons, the staff, if you were able to see on Tuesday morning, our staff meetings always start with prayer. They must. They have to. That's what we're here for. Our elders, our trustees, our deacons, like I said, their meetings, they start with prayer. They're in prayer. Knees are wearing out on pants. We're in prayer. We have to be in prayer. It's not, we can't come in here in the morning. We can't come in here through the week. And you see the silliness of people blowing away pandemics. All that silliness. We can't do that. We have to pray. We have to dig into God's word to get through what we're going through. All right, we're going to dive right in. Again, Luke 10, 25 through 37. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, this is Jesus, he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all of your strength and all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this time of being able to gather. I thank you for the freedom that we have to be able to just walk in these doors and be able to worship you and share you with those outside the doors. God, please be with us this morning. Speak through me. Speak through the word that you've put in front of us. Allow us to take this into our hearts and to run with it. You are challenging us, God. We know you're challenging us, and we need that. First Baptist Ferguson needs that. We as believers need that in our lives. Thank you for all that you do. In your precious and holy name, amen. All right, I kind of talked about how busy we are as a church, all right? Now, I've got an example of being busy as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor. And any of you that know my schedule, you know how crazy busy the Inman family is. We've got a calendar hanging up in our kitchen that's filled out with sporting events, church events, all the different things, school events, National Junior Honor Society. We've got kids in jump rope club. We've got anything and everything possible happening. And I am blessed to have the four amazing kids that I have and the amazing wife that I do. And my in-laws have helped in so many ways in making sure we can get the kids to where they need to be. We can also continue to share the gospel with them and raise them up to be the men and women that they will be. And our crazy busy schedule this week, Wednesday, the kids came home. Colleen had a deadline on Friday to get all of the students' input in the system. She's in charge of the high school students getting college credit at Missouri Baptist University. And so she had all these high school students from all over the state that they've been putting in the system and getting them all logged in and running the payments and doing all the things that she needs to do. And this Friday was her deadline. So this week she worked some long hours. On Wednesday, the kids get home from school, and we've got Awana, and we've got youth group, and we know that. We know that as a family, that that's on Wednesday, and that we're going to those events. So they get home, and Daisy throws me a curveball, okay? Now, Daisy didn't really throw a curveball. She didn't have it quite down yet, but she threw a curveball at me in, "Hey, Dad, my friend from school, you're supposed to be coming to Awana with us." I said, "What?" I said, "What?" And she said, "No, Mom worked it out with her mom." And I was like, "Well, but mom's not here. It's Dad. And I've already got you four, and we're going to have a fifth?" Mom and I talked about this. And we're at four. That's it. Okay? So I said, "Let me get a hold of Mom and see what we can get figured out." By this point, my sweet little Daisy is crying, which that crushes Dad immediately. Any of my kids, it's like, "What's the matter? What, can I get you a pony?" Or whatever. I mean, as soon as they start crying, Dad's like crumbling, okay? So Daisy's crying, and I'm like, "Colleen, I need help. Did you talk to this young lady's mom about her coming to Awana?" And as I'm on the phone with Colleen, Daisy gets me again. Another curtain. This might have been a slider, actually. But she comes in with, "Dad, I want my friends to know about Jesus." And it wasn't, you know, the Sunday school, you know, when you get a little older, you manipulate your parents by telling them what they want to hear or something else, right? Now, youth, don't do that, okay? But you do. Daisy's not at that point yet. She's still innocent-ish at the age that she's at. But she came with the idea that she wanted her friend to know about Jesus. I said, "Colleen, can you get a hold of her mom? We're going to pick this little girl up, and we're bringing her to church." The busy life was about to get in my way of allowing my child's heart that wanted her friend to know about Jesus to blossom, to flourish. I was about to put, no. I got everything, listen, the day is mapped out by the minute of what I've got to do to make sure that we're at church at the right exact time. I can't run and go pick up a friend. But God said, "Yeah, you can." And he put it right through the mouth of a seven-year-old. Bam! Take that, Doug. Okay? As we dive into this and we think about this, about sharing the gospel and about loving up on others and about talking about what God has in store for those in our life and for us, I want you to think about that. Think about a time in your life where you had a situation where you may have been really busy, but somebody came up to you and said, hey, it may not have been as blatant as this, but tell me about that Jesus you know. Or they want to start a conversation with you and you're like ready to go. You're out the door. You're on to your next scheduled event or appointment. As we look at Luke 10, starting there in 25, it says right off the bat, behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test. Put God, put Jesus to the test. What? Put him to the test? We do that. I do that. Okay? God, really? If you, back in high school, I can't even tell you how many times. Again, youth, don't listen to this. Okay? Back in high school, I can't think of how many times I was like, God, please just help me pass this test. Please help me pass this test. And then I'll go tell someone about Jesus. Okay? Or, God, if you really loved me, you would get rid of this. Or, God, if you really cared about my family, you wouldn't allow this to happen. Okay? This lawyer is putting God to the test. And he says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this is where Jesus becomes just about every one of our dads. Okay? Mine, especially. And Jesus says, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Okay, how many times, I know in my life, I'd go to my dad and say, Dad, why are we doing this? And my dad would turn it right back around on me. Answer your own question, son. I love getting to do that with my own kids now. But here it is. Jesus is saying, he's challenging him back. He's testing him. What is written in the law? How do you read it? And the lawyer answered correctly, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He knew it. He knew what was written. Why was he testing Jesus? Why do we test Jesus? And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. In verse 29, he's justifying himself, okay? It says, but he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? This is where the lawyer turns it around again. Okay, I asked you a question. You made me answer my own question. I'm going to justify myself with you, Jesus. That's bold. That's bold. But again, I do it. We all do it. We all question what Jesus and God is doing, what's happening in our lives. Who is my neighbor? I listened to a special, okay, by the Reverend Billy Graham. Okay, and he was talking about who is your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Who do we look at as our neighbors? And I want to read this. This is again from Billy Graham. This isn't my own. But he said 850 million people on this planet live on a starvation diet. Now this was about 15, 20 years ago. But 850 million people on the planet live on a starvation diet. Who is our neighbor? When is the last time, this again is Billy Graham, when is the last time you shared your social life with someone of another race or ethnic background? Or when's the last time you shared material goods with the poor? Or last time you shared your knowledge with those that need an education or need skills. Sharing your skills with the untrained. When's the last time you shared compassion or prayer for the peace of the world? Have you cared for the aging, the handicapped, the blind, the alcoholics? Have you cared for the dope addicts, the morally fallen? Who is your neighbor? What is our responsibility? I want to read this again. I want you to hear what Jesus says in verse 30 through 35. This is Jesus talking about the Good Samaritan. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that same road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side." We know what that's like, right? We've done that. The priest passed on the other side of the person that was suffering. They had a schedule, I'm sure, that they felt that was more important than helping this person. "So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him," now listen to everything that he did. He didn't just go to him to help him. "The Samaritan went to him. He bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. He set the Samaritan on his own animal, knowing that he was now going to have to continue walking. Whatever animal he was potentially riding, he is now having to walk the rest of this journey. But he set this man on his animal and brought him to the inn to take care of him." He didn't just help the guy. He went so many more steps beyond helping this person that was hurting. "And the next day, he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" Now, this tells us probably that the Samaritan knew the innkeeper, okay? He gave him the money, said, "If you need to spend more, I'll pay you back." The innkeeper trusted that and believed it and continued to take care of this man. Who is our neighbor? Who is in our life that is needing help? They don't have to be mortally beaten. We've got people in our church right now that are dealing with cancer. We got people in our church right now dealing with illnesses. We've got people in our church that have job problems, issues going on at work. We have people that have family problems. Guys, it's critical. It's critical that we are in prayer. We are in prayer, preparing ourselves for this person that we're going to come across that's hurting. We have to be in prayer. We have to be in God's Word. This week in the newsletter, I sent out, it was 20 tips. And in the conference that I went to, the 20 tips were guided towards marriage. But the 20 tips are in our everyday life. As you read through those, you can reword them just a little bit, and it touches on everything. It touches on us as a church family, on the trust and the love that we must have for each other. It starts at home. It starts with us, myself included, who gets busy, and I get tired. Man, I get tired at the end of the night. Oh my goodness, I get tired. But it starts with us opening up that Bible in our home, diving into God's Word, allowing our kids to see us diving into God's Word, feeding them God's Word, doing devotions. Those of us that are married, it's us with our spouse. We've got to keep that communication there. We've got to continue the love. We've got to pray together and stay together. Again, if you're not married, it's with our family. It's all of us with our families. If we can't love up on our own family, how are we going to love up on strangers? If we can't love up the next step, like I mentioned a minute ago, if we can't love up on our own church family, how are we going to love up on strangers? If we're fighting and quarreling and we're bickering and arguing and talking behind each other's back or whatever may happen at any church in this world, how are we going to love up on strangers? We're going to be too busy. We're going to find excuses. Satan's going to give us the excuses. He's going to give us the opportunity to go on the other side of the street and ignore who we see that's hurting and what they're hurting from. And it's going to be easy to come up with those because things aren't right in my life. I'm hurting. Why help somebody else that's hurting if I'm hurting myself? I don't have time for their hurts. I've got my own hurts. I don't have time for their prayer requests. I've got my own prayer requests. Church family, we got to put all of that to the side. We've got to be on the team, one team together for God. The last month, as I've reached out to several of you and I've talked with so many of you, there's been a lot of legacy things that have been thrown out my way. And I could keep talking and talking and talking. We'd be here till 1, 2 o'clock sharing some of the stories that I've heard that have happened here at First Baptist Ferguson. We are at a point in our church family that we need to look around. Look at your brothers and sisters around you. Do you know what's going on in their life? Do you know where they could use prayer? Do you know the awesome thing that just happened to them at work? The awesome thing that happened to them with their family? The slider that was thrown to them by their 7-year-old daughter? Do you know what's going on in your church family lives? And if you don't, if you're looking around and you see people you don't know, go up to them. Go up to them. Get to know them. We've got so many amazing stories in this church. God has built a church here at First Baptist Ferguson with testimonies that are covering anything and everything that we could possibly have. We don't know everything about everybody's background, but God does. And He built this team. He built our church family to be able to go out and find those that are hurting. We need to find them within our church too. We need to feel comfortable in sharing. If you've got something you're struggling with, feel comfortable in talking with us. If you tell me about it, I will keep it between you and I if you wish, other than, hey, somebody in our church needs prayer for because I want our staff to pray for it. Be open. Be willing to share. Be willing to talk. Because we've got to build each other up. Because people are hurting outside these doors. We can't preach on it enough. A pandemic that's pulled a lot of us apart, that have kept us away from our groups of friends or certain family members or our traditions or things that we've done, Thanksgiving meals that have been, no, we can't do that. We need to love up on each other however we can. Whether that's a phone call, a Zoom call, who thought we'd ever end up saying that the Jetsons would be here, right? Or however we end up are able to reach out to others, we need to do that. The summers have been amazing in reaching out to me and asking me, hey, this address is outdated. Can you get that address for me? And phone calls and cards and things are being sent to family members and people that are have been a part of this church for a long time that are not here. Because we need to check up on each other. We need to love up on each other. Verse 36 and 37. Again, we're in Luke 10. Verse 36 and 37 say, which of these three do you think proved, okay? Now this is Jesus again. Which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. 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 I didn't forget about you guys. You go and do likewise. We're called out. We're being called out, guys. This isn't just Pastor Doug up here sharing a message or sharing words or sharing amazing things from the Reverend Billy Graham. This is Jesus right here saying, you go and do likewise. The lawyer tested Jesus. Jesus spun that around just like my dad did back in the day. Boom, right back on you, Doug. You go and do likewise. Okay, Jesus, you got a challenge for us. Who's up for this challenge? Who's willing to do this challenge with us? What can we do amongst our church family? What can we do among our own family? What can we do with our neighbors? What can we do in our neighborhood? What can we do in the community? What can we do in the state? What can we do in this country, in this world? What can we do? Well, God has us here and is needing us to be warriors for Him. Who can we lift up? And our families. And our church family, and our neighbors, and neighborhoods, and our communities, and our cities, and our states, and our country, and our world. Who can we lift up? Even if we don't agree with somebody, we need to lift them up. There's politicians that we don't agree with, and I'm not going down this road, but we can pray for them. We can pray for them. I wanted to share this, and I forgot to bring it up before we started, so just give me 1 second. As we talk about the politicians, and I know Jeff Aaron saw this because I saw he liked it too, you know, how Facebook is. We can see our friends liking things. The chief of police for the city of Ferguson is an amazing, God-fearing man. Chief McCall, Frank McCall. He posted this. You ready? Here's Facebook stuff. 19 hours ago. And it was from a memory of his from 9 years ago. So we're looking at a span here, okay? He said, prayer works and still changes things. Prayer works and still changes things. Chief McCall, our Ferguson police chief, a God-fearing man. That loves God. He loves this community. He's engaged in this community. He's doing what we say that we will do. And he's not afraid to throw it out on Facebook that he's a God-fearing man. Not bad for a Marine. I know that's going to get back to him, and he's going to get back at me. But that's all right. I love Chief McCall. Again, guys, we have illnesses, we have cancer, we have job issues, we have family issues, we've got illnesses within our family, we have deaths in our family, we have so many things going on right now. Be open. I love the communication that I have with several of you gentlemen, okay? There's a lot of you guys that somehow have raised kids, because I don't know how it's possible to successfully raise kids, because sometimes my kids, you guys got through it, I don't know. But you have been there for me in so many ways, through my ministry, through my marriage, and through me being a dad. And I'm thankful for that. And I've had several of the ladies in this church that have loved up on me and been there for me, and I know you're praying for me. I feel it. There's a lot going on in this church. There sure is. There's no doubt about that. But God's in control. God knows where we're going to be in a year. God knows where we're going to be in 5 years. God knows where we're going to be in 10 years. And I'm thankful to be here right now. And I'm ready to see what God's got in store. When I saw those kids last night, man, Miss Ruth, I got pumped. I was so excited seeing all those little kids running around the parking lot and all of that. Our puppet ministry doing their thing, and my kids telling me, there was a Bible that was on fire. And I was like, isn't that awesome? And if you haven't seen it, come to one of the puppet shows. Trust me, it's really cool. He opens the Bible, it's on fire. They told me the fire department didn't put it out, so that's good. But we've got some great things happening here. But we need each other. We need to trust each other. We need to be there for each other. And we need to pray for each other. I have a quote here I want to share. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. One of his quotes. And again, this has to do with the Good Samaritan. But it, Martin Luther King says, on the one hand, we are called to play the Good Samaritan on life's roadside. But that will only be only an initial act. One day, we must come to see that the whole Jericho Road must be transformed so that men and women will not be constantly beaten and robbed as they make their journey on life's highway. True compassion is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It is not haphazard or superficial. It comes to see edifice which produces beggars needs restructuring. It's not about just helping that one person. We need to transform the men and the women, as Dr. Martin Luther King said. We can't transform. Again, I can't come up here and blow away pandemics. But God can get rid of anything. God can do anything. God is in control of everything. God is not surprised by what has happened and what is happening around us. I want to share this the story, and I can't remember where it's from. I was trying to look it up, but I remember reading this story at one point. And it kind of just brings us all home. Picture yourself, okay? You're down on the beaches, and if you went to Texas with us, you know what I'm talking about. You know the houses on stilts. I know that's not what they're really called. But they look like giraffe houses or whatever you want to call it, however you want to picture it. The big houses that have the pillars that come down that protect them from hurricanes. Okay, now you and your family are out there. You're on vacation. You're spending some time there at the beach. And a storm's rolling in. It's creating huge waves. Big waves. But you're lifted up off the ground, so you're not really worried about it. You go in there. You watch the waves crash in the beach and everything else. The storm ends. And you step out on the deck and you're looking. And you still see, you know, the beautiful ocean. You see what's out there. And you look down and along the beach, there's thousands of starfish that have been washed up from the waters. Thousands of starfish. The storm's over, the sun's out, and you're looking down at the starfish. There's just so many of them. You go down, and you get a little closer so you can survey what you're looking at. You see this little boy coming down the beach, and he's picking up starfish, and he's tossing them in the water. Picks up another one, tosses it in the water. Picks up another one, tosses it in the water. You go up to the little boy. You say, you can't surely think that you can save all of these starfish, do you? The little boy comes back and says, not by myself. The man starts throwing the starfish in the water too. I can't do this by myself. Miss Ruth can't do this by herself. Our elders can't do this by themselves. None of us can do this by ourselves. But we can do this together. If we have differences, we need to pray through it. We need to get together. We need to iron them out. God will get us through it. How many differences do we see throughout the Bible that God gets the people through? He will get us through our differences in our families, in our church, in our community. Let's pray. God, we are thankful that you sent Jesus to die on the cross. We're thankful that our sins can be forgiven. We're thankful that you're here with us, God. God, we are a church that is ready to fight for you. We are a church that you have equipped and you're still equipping. As I think about Daisy, at 7 years old, and the short time that she's had on earth, but her passion for letting others know about you, God, let me and let others feel that passion of a child. Give us the opportunities. There's going to be people coming our way. We saw it last night. So many people that I met, and I know that Miss Ruth met, and I know that others met. God, keep feeding us the people. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to leave the inside of the church building and be able to go out and do things. But help us to be able to expand even further. I thank you for opportunities that are opening up in other ways for us to be able to share your word with others. Continue those, God. Continue to feed us people that you want on your team and that we want on your team and we want on our team. God, I thank you for the verses that we dove into. I thank you for the Good Samaritan, and I thank you for the lessons that are learned from that, for us to slow down our lives, take the break, and take the opportunity to talk to others about you, or to even just love up on somebody. It doesn't say anywhere in these verses that the man shared you with the person that was hurt. But he loved up on them. Help us, God, to be able to love up on others, to be able to embrace others and be able to share you with others. Thank you again, God, for all that you do. In your precious and holy name, amen.